I just wanted to take a moment to thank everyone for joining us today. With all of the changes we've experienced over the last 6 months, it's amazing to see all of you here to celebrate a day I've waited for since I was a boy. I'll let everyone get back to their meals in a minute. 4 years ago, when I first told my mother about this new hotshot White House aide, I couldn't stop going on about how loud and brash he was. He was overbearing and cocksure.
Hey, stop making me sound so awesome.
Oh, stop. I'm getting to the good parts. Anyway, the more I got to know this man, the more I learned how smart, compassionate, and dedicated he was to his work, to his hobbies, and eventually to me. He's a man that has carried me when I couldn't walk, a source of strength for me when I feared the aftermath of recent events, and someone I'm constantly learning from and with. Okay, I'll stop being so sappy. Let me just finish by saying, Viper, you are my rock. We're stronger together than we could ever hope to be alone, and I can't wait to experience all that the future holds for us. I love you.
At the head of a large, elegant banquet hall, with over 100 of their family, friends, and colleagues watching, Jazz and Viper share a long, passionate, borderline obscene kiss. At a table nearby, flanked by her personal Dark Cycle bodyguards, sits President Mother Mary Lightwind. Opposite the Commander-in-Chief sit her numbers 1 and 2, Evelyn Kennedy and Cynthia Heavyhammer.
Oh wow, they're still going at it. I'm going to stop clapping. My hands hurt. My soup is getting cold.
It's a gazpacho, Cynthia. It started out that way. Ugh, at this rate, they're never gonna cut the cake. Rein it in, you two!
Sister Evelyn, relax. With all our team has dealt with in the capital lately, I'll not have this day of celebration sullied by your troubled personal problems.
Oh yes, pardon me for not feeling up to a wedding shortly after my long-term partner left me, Madam President.
I know you're in pain, dear, but this is neither the time nor place to air grievances, and I'm certainly not the person to receive them. Perhaps you should take a walk. Let the evening breeze calm your nerves. Enjoy the sound of the light rain.
You're right, Mother Mary. I'm sorry. Things have been difficult lately. Lots of changes in my life. I think I will step out for a moment.
As Evelyn wades through the throngs of revelers, she spots her friend and co-worker, Maggie Minkowitz. A one-time librarian at the recently unaccredited Trump Junior Academy, Maggie now sits on a presidential advisory board. It's not necessarily a position she sought, but she knows an advantageous opportunity when she sees one.
Maggie, why aren't you seated with the rest of us?
Last minute invite, I guess. I have to assume someone RSVP'd no, so they had an extra seat. I don't think Viper likes me very much.
Oh yeah? Why's that?
I may have come across some dirt on his sister's sidewinder a few years ago, and I may have used it to my advantage, but who really knows?
Jeez. Well, I'm gonna step outside, take a walk. Wanna join me?
Absolutely. Things at my table are a bit dull. Sidewinder's not much of a conversationalist.
Screw you, Minkowitz!
Outside, the two are greeted by a cool breeze. The sun has set as a light rain falls. Due to the event's guest list, dark cyclists are peppered across the lawn and patio.
Good evening, Cherith. How goes the watch?
Hello, Miss Kennedy. Everything is as it should be, ma'am. Have a good walk, ma'am.
Cherith, this is Gareth. We are in position. The package is gift-wrapped. Countdown to delivery begins now.
Copy that, Gareth. You're doing your country proud. Head for drier ground and I'll contact you later. Over and out.
Back inside, the festivities have reached a fever pitch as Dr. May Vaughn has taken over bartending duties. A bit of a mad scientist and Jazz's favorite aunt, she's concocted a signature beverage and has been instructing the servers to pass them to any willing recipient. She has found many test subjects.
These are amazing. What's in them?
Oh, it's mostly tonic water, an herbal extract, varying levels of distilled forget-me-not. Oh, and vermouth.
May, what? I think everyone's been drinking these. I've had 3 or 4.
These are interesting results indeed. Dear, you've had 10. Perhaps this experiment has run its course for the...
Holy shit, what was that?
Well, with near certainty, I can say it wasn't my fault.
Sister Cynthia, we need to move you fast! Come with me, now! Doctor, take cover, please!
If it's all the same to you, I'll just tag along.
Jareth, where's the president? Were we just attacked? What's going on?
I'm fine, dear. And no, not the wedding. Reports are coming in that there have been mass coordinated attacks on regional aquagons across the country.
Someone's attacking the national water supply?
Space America, Season 2, Episode 1. They're Coming to Earth was written by Daniel Williams and voiced by Adam Bauer, S. Michael Clericus, Dave Goddard, Ellison Headley, Lisa Kanizze, Ian McGowan, William Mead, Andrew Mihalovich, Miki Morgan, Stephanie Miles, Katie Paul, Craig Wagner, Jen Weinman, Daniel Williams, Sarah Williams, and Liz Zirkel. The main theme was composed by Ian McGowan, with additional music provided by Ian McGowan and Heath Aldrich. Space America Season 2 is brought to you by Calamity Cast, produced by Daniel Williams and Brian Schaefer, co-created by Daniel Williams and Liz Zirkel.
And we're back again with noted author and explorer, Charles Chutney Montgomery. He's here promoting his latest book, The Cyber Scourge. They're Not All Bad, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Borgs. Like I said earlier, you can just call me Charles.
Of course, Chutney. Now, before the break, you were telling us about your earthly exploits. What happened after you left your friend Cookie to her lonely, terrifying, fiery death?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it that way. Anyway, our friend Wings had been taken prisoner, and we headed to...
Oh, is this when you met the misanthropic cyborg?
No. This is when their trusted guide Giggles betrayed the group.
Oh my god, I love that part!
So yeah, we rescued Wings, our friend Iggy betrayed us and then died, we stopped a psychopath from destroying Space America, and Wings died a hero. I lost most of my friends on that excursion. God damn it. It's all in the book. What am I doing here?
He acts like people on Space America weren't dealing with the civil unrest and history's most incompetent president. What a douche.
Hey, do you know that guy's my cousin?
Color me shocked.
Hey gang, LZ's up ahead.
In the dead of night, a small unmarked transport ship lands in a densely forested region of upstate New York. With its cloak engaged, the vessel is nearly invisible, and the thick underbrush of the forest floor finishes the vanishing act.
All right, team. From here, we're on foot. It's about a 2-day hike to our first target. Mav, before we head out, double-check the medical supplies. We'll only have what's on our backs until we meet up with B-Squad.
You got it.
Oh, for the sake of the mother, why do we have to land so far away from the target?
Because, Chad, any closer and we run the risk of local interference.
And without some cyborg bullshit sticking out of our necks, we'd be made instantly.
Hey, Chad, if you want, I can graft a throbbing cybernetic dick to your head. It'd match your personality.
I was actually thinking of twin assholes, but I've got the two of you barking orders at me, so I'm good.
Give it a rest, Chad. I'm your commanding officer. It's my job to bark orders. Speaking of, hey, Nathan, pick up the pace. We've got to roll out.
And I'm her twin, asshole. We're kind of a package deal.
You guys are related?
God damn it, Chad.
Sorry, Captain. I finished the mod for the personal hoverboards. With these, we should be able to make it to Rock Lobster in half the time without using the main roads.
Oh, yes. Nathan, I want to kiss your brains, you scrawny genius.
Okay. I'm good, Chad.
All right, Nathan. As long as they're quiet, I want to avoid the locals as long as we can. Bunch of creepy half-man science experiments. Not bad, Nathan. Chad, you take the lead. I'll take rear. Watch our six. Everyone, heads on a swivel. We don't know what's out there.
Oh, sure. I'm the big guy, so put me out front.
You're the bullet sponge, Chad. It's your job as a tank.
You're the one that's gotta dig them all out, you diaper baby.
That's Dr. Diaper Baby, pal.
Will the two of you shut up? Good guy, other loudmouths are going to get us all killed. Go on, Nathan. Let's catch up.
In the morning following the attacks, President Mother Mary convenes with her Cabinet of Pain. Tensions are running high, and though they're working diligently, questions surrounding the devastation remain unanswered.
Damn it! I want to know who is responsible for these attacks! Sister Cynthia, the entire national water supply has been compromised, and you mean to tell me our intelligence apparatus has found nothing? Where is Sister Evelyn?
She's dealing with the press as we speak, ma'am. Rumors are spreading about the attacks, and she's squashing them as quickly as they pop up. As for the terrorists, all we know is that this was an extremely well-coordinated attack. All of Space America's aquagons were destroyed within minutes of each other. And that's not all.
I'm sure whatever you're going to say will only make matters worse. Well, out with it.
Reports just came in. The entire Weather Wizard network was hacked. There's been a catastrophic failure of all climatronic systems.
By the mother. Jazz, that means...
Yes, ma'am. I'm not an expert, but without fresh water or a functional climate system to circulate it, the entire Space America agricultural industry will collapse.
How? How will citizens respond to a complete lack of climate? No air circulation, no precipitation. What are we gonna do?
It's a madhouse out there. Some of them are asking questions I don't even understand well enough to lie about. I think I've held them off until...
Sister Evelyn, not now. Things have unexpectedly gone from bad to worse. We need to formulate a strategy. Viper, I don't suppose my predecessor left plans in place for a possible extinction-level event?
No, ma'am. Not concerning this type of event, anyway. Most of his contingency plans were related to the Moon Mole Men and Man-Bat attacks and something he called the Skynet?
That sounds about right. Sister Cynthia, have the lead climatologists from every Weather Wizard location convene here tomorrow. Jazz, until then, please have Dr. Vaughn brought in to assist with strategy. I know she's not a climate expert, but desperate times and all that.
Of course, Mother Mary. We'll take care of things immediately.
Sister Evelyn, I'm sorry for snapping at you, dear. Please come with me. I have an idea I'd like to discuss with you. And Maggie?
Mm-hmm.
How goes the translations?
Well, while you all were panicking, I found two more sites. That makes 8, but here's the kicker. If I'm reading the captain's log right, you'll only need 6.
Good to know. Okay, Evelyn, come with me. The future of Space America is in our hands.
Deep in the backwoods of New York, there are ancient overgrown roads that few know about. It's on these roads that a well-trained and dangerous predator tracks a group of alien interlopers. In the darkest dark, he can see them clearly. Even on foot, he keeps pace with their foreign tech.
Map, report in! How goes the recon mission?
The intel was good. I'm tracking 4 enemy combatants southwest through heavily forested terrain. They seem well-armed and well-organized. Some kind of military, for sure.
Vasquez, what's their target?
There's not much in the region, but if they're looking for some kind of target, I'd put money on the Rock Lobster docking station. Can't imagine what they'd be looking for.
Keep on them, Sam. When they reach their destination, report it. We need to know who they are and what they want.
Copy that, Commander. Over and out. All right, time to get a closer look at what I'm dealing with.
As Zap moves in for a closer look at his targets, the Space American team stops in a nearby clearing to rest before continuing on their long journey to Rock Lobster, New York.
So, Shooter, you've been pretty vague about this whole mission. What the hell are these targets? And what are we doing to them?
You're gonna do what I say when we get there, and then you're gonna do it again at the next one. That's really all you need to know, Chad.
Oh, come on, Shooter. We're down here in the backwoods of an alien hellscape. We're knee-deep in the shit. What's the point in keeping secrets now? Come on, spill it.
Fine. So get this. The mission comes down from the President herself. We're here to secure Space American redocking stations.
Wait, are you serious? She's actually doing it? Mother Mary is bringing the church to the Holy Land after all these years? This is incredible!
Damn. She set out to bring us all to the warm bosom of Mother Gaia. And it's actually happening.
And it'll all be thanks to us. We're gonna be heroes.
Sure, buddy. Focus on that part. Not the fact that the scripture is true. Can you feel it? The ancient ancient earth magic throbbing in your brain? The connection to Gaia strengthening, going deeper into every fiber of your being?
Yeah, I totally am feeling that thing. It's pretty cool, right? Roar, so strong.
Well, Chad's an idiot, but yeah, Nathan, on the road I did feel something, a surge, like electricity pulsing through my veins. Check this out.
Shooter closes her eyes, steals herself, and with clenched fists and gritted teeth, forces herself out of existence.
Holy shit! Shooter! Shooter?
Dude, I'm right in front of you.
The team stares in disbelief. Barely visible, save for a vague magical glimmer, Shooter is nearly invisible.
She's a witch!
I mean, I am a stealth rogue agent out of an ancient sect of neobotanology, so yeah?
Yeah, no, I get it. That's the joke, you know? You know what? Never mind. So, when did you figure out you could do that?
Like I said, on the road. I was going over mission details in my head, thinking about stealthy infiltration tactics, and I look down and see my hands missing. It definitely takes extreme concentration to go full invisible woman. And it kind of stings, too, like licking a 9-volt battery with your entire body.
That is incredible. Do it again.
Yeah! Oh, fucking A, man. Do it.
All right. One more time, and then we hit the road again.
As Shudu shows off her newfound abilities again, Zap watches from a distance.
So she's got some kind of cloaking tech, huh? Good to know. Too bad it doesn't mask a heat signature.
Hey, what the fuck is that? Someone out there?
Better take off before I'm made.
Look, pal, my big dumb friend here is big and dumb and pretty quick to anger. If you don't want him to rip your arms off and shove them up inside you, I suggest coming out now.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Before Shooter becomes annoyed enough to set the entire forest on fire, a masked figure emerges from the brush, holding a very large firearm. Wrapped in what appears to be rags, the stranger quickly closes the gap between himself and Chad.
Oh, hey there, fellow travelers. That's some pretty interesting tech you got there. Mode, come on out and meet our new friends.
We got new friends, Mark. They looking to trade. We got some pretty good wares for friends. Got a good knife here, real sharp.
Okay, you two are a real cute couple, but we're not really in the market.
Oh, so you are. You surely are in the market to trade. Well, I bet you'd be willing to trade whatever invisibility tech you're wearing in exchange for we don't hold you down and fuck you to death with Maud's blade.
I'm real gentle.
You people are gross!
All right, you two. This has been awful, and we've got to get going. Chad, do the arm thing.
You got it, boss.
With surprising speed, Chad grabs Marauder Mark by the shoulders before the ragged ghoul of a man can react.
Marky Mark! No! I'll cut every one of your dicks off! No! My stabbing hand!
Sorry about that, lady. We really don't have time for this.
Hey, this is a pretty well-balanced knife. I'm just gonna take this in.
Guys, check it out. One in each end. Like he's roasting on a spit.
Let's move out, team. Mav, vaporize this mess and we'll hit the road.
Back on the recently doomed Space America, Maggie Minkowitz is in her cramped corner of the oblong office, which seems geometrically impossible. Deep in concentration, as she pores over several notebooks, in addition to the captain's log, she doesn't even notice the intruder leering over her shoulder.
Hey.
Ow, damn it! Shitfuck!
What are you reading?
Government secrets. Did you pinch me? What are you doing in here, Dr. Vaughn? And where did you come from?
Well, the actual climate scientists arrived, and my services were no longer needed. Instead of heading back to the lab, I thought I'd snoop. I do enjoy my work, but it can be a bit solitary.
What have you been working on lately? Love potions? Deadly poisons? Deadly love poisons?
I've been refining the chemical composition of forget-me-not. And in my spare time, I've been working on an untraceable, truth serum. What did you say you were reading again?
It's the Fabled Captain's Log, most recently written by the last president of Earth-America. I've spent months deciphering this code that apparently points to every Space American redocking station along the northern border of Earth-America. With enough stations up and running, we can successfully bring Space America back to Earth, which you may or may not know is Mary's long-standing goal. And why am I telling you all of this? Did you drug me?
Oh, Maggie, that's ridiculous. You are notoriously chatty. Anyway, I've gotta go, but this conversation has been very enlightening. So much data to log. Bye, dear.
I swear to... I will fucking kill the next person that tries to drug me.
The Rock Lobster redocking station, as expected. Now, what exactly are you people up to? There's nothing here worth stealing.
This place looks dead. Should be a piece of cake.
You're right, Chad. Why don't you alert every Borg in a 5-mile radius to spice things up a bit? Idiot!
Will you both shut up? We don't know what's in there. So play this like professionals, goddammit. Chad and Nathan, get in there, see if you can find some lights.
You got it. The sooner we get the station up and running, the sooner we can head out. This old place is creepy. Come on, Chad. I've got your back.
They want the station back online? Fuck! No time to deal with Felix.
With the stealth and grace of some kind of assassin ballerina, Zap makes his way around the perimeter of the building in search of a rear entrance. High overhead, he spots his access point, a rusted footbridge connecting the main station tower to a larger secondary tower. With little effort, Zap leaps to the second-story bridge and makes his way inside the main tower. Meanwhile, at the front entrance...
Check in. What do you fellas see?
Nothing much, really. Nathan found what looks like the main security office. He's reconfiguring the power matrix.
Close enough. We should have lights in just a minute.
Copy that. We're on our way in.
Wow. Nathan's right. This place is creepy as hell.
Whoa!
Get a grip, Mav. Let's do a sweep of the first floor and meet up with the others. You fellas hear that?
Copy. We're down the main hall, back of the building. Didn't see anything coming in, though.
The siblings methodically make their way to the security office, silently scanning every room as they pass, searching for would-be attackers. Fortunately, all is quiet.
Hey, nice job standing around with your dick in your hand, Chad. Nathan, you did good work, too.
Ha! We've all got our roles to play. Anyway, it looks like this isn't where we need to be to get this station operational. Which makes sense, but it's unfortunate.
Luckily, there's a convenient map of the building on the wall back here. Looks like there's a central control, middle of the second floor. Let's find the stairs and head on up.
So what exactly does this place do? And how am I supposed to get it up and running?
I wasn't given too much information, but from what I've been told, the larger tower actually houses docking clamps. Buried deep underground, there's a massive battery that powers a series of giant electromagnets. I guess they help keep Space America from shifting too much once it's reintegrated.
Makes enough sense, if you don't think too hard about it.
As for your second question, Nathan, I was given a micro drive containing a string of code and an admin password. I asked for more details, but all anyone could say is, if we told you, we'd all be expunged, so...
Well, we came here to do a job. Let's bring Space America home!
Ah, for fuck's sake, Chad, what did you do?
After a tense few days of dealing with the inevitable destruction of her home, Evelyn Kennedy manages to find time to unwind, or at least make the attempt. With Roger gone, there's less fussing about in the kitchen, less noise to come home to. There's an air of peaceful loneliness in her apartment she's not yet accustomed to. It's only occasionally interrupted by the new addition to her home.
Old Tom, come on! If I knew I was going to replace one messmaker with another, I would have reconsidered getting a cat. You're right. That was mean. I'm sorry. You may be as messy as Roger, but you're already more emotionally resilient than he was. I swear, that man could be mopier than a goth teen. Come here, buddy. Let's log an entry, then make a stew. Okay, computer. Begin video recording. Log as journal entry 7362. It's been Only 5 days since the Aquagons were attacked? Without those facilities, the nation will run out of potable water. The weather wizards? They're still inoperable. Our leading climatologists are at a loss. Physically, every system is fine, but the AI that controls regional climates and weather patterns is rewriting itself daily, so as of now, there's no possible resolution. Mother Mary, she's not ready to address the nation. She's still hoping to find a solution before admitting to the populace just how dire the situation is. I don't know. I feel like the administration needs to get out ahead of this thing as quickly as possible. Otherwise, the people will turn on us faster than they did Lazier. God, she'd hate that more than anything else. To fail so much faster and on such a grand scale. The irony is a little funny. I guess that's why she has me dealing with all of the leaks and rumors. Jazz and Viper have way more experience with damage control, but Mary knows that I blame her for most of this. She knows. How does she always know? All right, Journal. That ought to do it for tonight. End video recording, encrypt entry, and store to local server only. You know what, old Tom? I do feel a little better. Come on, let's get that stew going. Psst, 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 psst.
I don't care, Jazz. This is worse than any dick catastrophe. Our entire civilization could come to an end.
I know. That doesn't mean I can't be upset we're canceling our honeymoon. I was excited to see the Space Mara Grand Canyon. It was supposed to be our first cross-country trip as a married couple.
Okay, I know. I get it. I guess I'm just having trouble being upset over something like that when it seems as if the fate of Space America rests in the hands of our cloak and dagger president and her mercenary zealot organization. I just don't trust the Dark Cyclists, Jazz, and I think pulling them into the political organization was a mistake.
I know it's none of my business, and I won't pretend I wasn't eavesdropping, but maybe you two should try to gently steer the president away from using a private paramilitary group to achieve her goals. As a private citizen, I've gotta say, seems a little untrustworthy. I mean, you two have been in the off-White House longer than anyone in that office. You should be your most trusted advisors, right?
Ha! Yeah, right, Sid. Long before Mary staged her soft coup, she'd planted a mole, Cynthia, in a senior cabinet position. And when she finally took power, she brought along Evelyn Kennedy, a junior executive sister with zero political experience, and installed her as VP.
Wow, sounds like no love lost there. Oh.
No, it's not like that. They've both become good friends, but we'd be lying if we said we didn't feel...
overlooked. And to say the long-term involvement of the Dark Cycle is dangerous is an understatement.
So what do the two of you plan to do to keep the country from collapsing into a fearful, desperate, violent hellscape? Not that I would know why that might happen, because I totally wasn't eavesdropping.
Wow. No pressure, right? I guess we do what we've always done. Try to push the leader of our society away from insane, dangerous tactics in order to secure a safe future for Space America.
Wow, deja vu, right?
I can't even decide if it's safer for me to go back to Lost New Angeles or stay here so I can get on that secret executive escape pod I know you guys get access to.
You can stay as long as you want. Just keep the wet towels off the guest bed. It's disgusting!
Ever since the terrorist attacks, President Mother Mary has had trouble sleeping. Her dreams oscillate from the joys of finally delivering her people to the Mother to the horrors of famine and slow starvation on a massive scale. To avoid this near-nightly torture, she stays in her office late, with Sister Cynthia by her side. Together, they monitor various news sources, and unfortunately, as more and more leaks surface, reporting of the panicked reactions of Space America's citizens start to emerge.
Welcome back to Good Morning Space America After Dark. As we mentioned before the break, reports are coming in from correspondents across the country with accounts of violent protests outside of government buildings, Aquagon sites, and local drive-thru liquor stores.
That's right. Though the last one might not be related to these bizarre rumors of terrorist attacks. We'll have more as the story develops. With government officials denying or outright ignoring the rumors, people are left with nowhere to direct their justifiable fear, and are thus turning on each other.
That's right, Liz. It's a real coast-to-coast bloodbath.
Okay, well, I think that's enough of that. Sister Cynthia, have Gareth or Cherith reported in recently? I can't believe they've yet to identify the terrorist organization responsible.
Yes, ma'am. Cherith's debriefing post-trip to the Triple M colony didn't yield much. Apparently the Steves are in a bit of a territory dispute with—
Dick Lazier. Say no more. They're clearly too busy to attack us. Besides, there aren't enough of them left to coordinate such a large-scale assault.
Cherith's intel said as much. We've heard nothing from Gareth.
What of our strike teams? Is there any new ERF information coming in?
No, ma'am. None of them have checked in. But maybe, considering the circumstances, we should recall the ERF-American recon teams until we've figured out a solution for our water and climate problems?
No. Now more than ever, they're exactly where I need them. Sister Cynthia, I didn't fully involve you with that business because, well, it—
Was none of my concern? Sure, of course.
Oh, Cynthia, please. The Dark Cyclists we sent to ERF aren't merely recon teams. I've tasked them with taking control of various redocking stations along the northern border. With the, more or less success of Sister Evelyn's journey across Earth America and the apparent viability of the planet.
You want to finally make your move and take us back? Wait, did you orchestrate the terrorist attacks?
Of course not! My desire to return to the Mother may be strong, but to jeopardize our entire existence in the process? How dare you! Do not insult me like that again. Besides, I wouldn't have destroyed the Aquagons until I were certain redocking preparations were in order.
But that is the plan now, correct? We're taking Space America back to Earth? Permanently?
Indeed. And while we've tried to keep information on the attacks from the media, it seems like they're going to force us to prematurely make a statement. I've already spoken with Sister Evelyn, and she's making the necessary preparations for a State of the Space Union address.
Fuck you! I didn't do anything, and I can't see shit!
Yeah, dipshit. Something killed the power.
Cool it, both of you. Something doesn't feel right here. Mav, Nathan, get in there and see what you can figure out. Take the drive, the password, and when I get the power running, you two get this thing operational. Chad, come with me. If there's someone down there fucking with us, we're gonna find him and kill him.
Copy that.
The tank and the commander quickly make their way back down the hall to the crumbling stairs. All is quiet as they return to the security office. Everything is as the team left it, except—
What the fuck? After Nathan did whatever he did to get the power running, he flipped this big-ass lever over here. Someone's definitely fucking with us.
All right, fire up the power again so the fellas can get this place up and running. Then let's go find this future corpse.
Oh, fuck!
As power returns to the tower, Chad is more than a little surprised to see a tall, fierce-looking man standing behind Shooter with a gun to her head. His face is smeared with what looks like black paint, his long hair pulled back. He has a thick beard and a warm, friendly smile, but there's menace in his eyes. His demeanor is unnerving.
Hey guys, sorry about this.
Oh, fuck you, Earth creep! Chad, back upstairs! Keep the others safe!
Oh, fuck that! I'm getting a piece of this asshole!
Chad, now!
Zap quickly recovers from the surprise melee and retaliates in kind. He moves so quickly, so precise, Shooter barely registers the attack.
Chad? You probably should have listened to him.
Bring it, Robo-chode!
With the flick of a wrist, Zap looses a hidden blade. Quickly dispatching Chad.
Bummer.
I'm not gonna let any more fucking space invaders try to colonize my planet.
fuck. How long was I out? Fuck. Chad, god damn it!
Shooter quickly makes her way back to the second floor control room. Along the way, there are definite signs of a battle. Scorch marks from laser blasts pepper the walls, a small fire in a nearby office. As she makes her way closer to the control room, she notices a trail of blood leading out down the hall.
Mav? Nathan? Nathan, fuck your arm! Nathan, where is Maverick?
I don't know. Some psychopath
glided in here like a fucking ghost. Threw Mav across the room like it was nothing and cut my fucking arm off. I just came to, Cap, I don't think... I don't think that guy wants us to get this station going again.
I don't give a fuck what he wants. Here, let me tie that off so you don't bleed out. Then I'm gonna fire my pistol up his ass until the battery dies.
I wouldn't worry about me. I've already lost, like, most of my blood. Here, I pulled the drive whilst he wasn't looking. When you're done with him, get the station up and running again, because seriously, fuck that guy.
Nathan, god damn it!
Shooter pockets the microdrive and activates her newfound invisibility as she heads toward the sound of a gunfight. She makes her way to the front of the tower and finds her twin brother, rifle in hand, standing over their attacker.
All right, I'm only gonna ask once. Who sent you? Who knows we're here?
You're not gonna get anything from me, so my advice? Pull the trigger already.
Mav, holy mother, you got it!
Ah, shooter, you're alive. Where the fuck are you?
Shit, fuck, hold on, I gotta shake this invisibility cloak.
With Maverick distracted, Zap takes the opportunity to gain the upper hand. He jumps to his feet, unsheathes a very large knife, and grabs Maverick from behind.
Listen, you two, I don't like doing this, but it's my job. And bummer for you, I'm very good at my job. Sorry, Mav.
Wait!
The blade drags deeply across Maverick's neck as the life drains from his face. His eyes go dim, his body slack as it falls to the ground, soaking the floor in a pool of red.
No, no, Maverick!
Wow, these Space America jerks are insanely violent. It didn't have to end up this way. Guess I should contact the commander, let them know what went down.
Having successfully guarded the Rock Lobster docking station, Zap begins his long trek back to Central Command. With the deaths of the four Space Americans, he hopes to quell the fear of another nationwide catastrophe. Unfortunately... Despite the pain, despite the loss, Shooter struggles to her feet, intent on completing the team's mission. She drags herself away from her brother's lifeless body, down the hall to the control room, where another of her team lays.
Guess it's a good thing the drive survived the shotgun blast.
Welcome. Please enter admin password. Hello, Administrator Cheney. Would you like to reinitiate Space America docking program at station 1337808RLNY?
Yes, damn it! Guess I should call home.
This is President Latwin, secure channel. Identify yourself.
ID 38912238. Cherith, it's me, Shooter. I need to speak with the President.
Speaking. How goes the mission, Captain?
There were some complications, ma'am.
What is it? What now?
My team. We were attacked. A lone assailant. I'm the only survivor.
Good Gaia. I'm so very sorry. I know how close you were with your team. I must ask, dear, was your mission successful?
Yes, ma'am. Of course. The docking station is operational and the diagnostics program running right now suggests everything is surprisingly functional.
This is amazing news, Captain. You've taken the first step in ensuring the survival of our people. You see, Sister Evelyn, this can work. It will. Our people will live on.
Whatever you're talking about is great, I'm sure. If that's all, I'm going to wrap my wounds, rest my head, and hunt down the cyborg freak that killed my team. Shooter out.
Not quite, dear. I understand your pain, but your journey isn't over yet.
For fuck's sake, what now, Madam President?
Captain, mind your tone!
Never mind that. Captain, there's another Dark Cyclist team heading to a docking station in western Pennsylvania. Meet with them and continue securing all possible docking stations. I'm sorry, but your vendetta will have to wait. We're transmitting the coordinates now. Good luck, my dear. And again, I'm truly sorry for your loss. Over and out.
Damn it, Nathan. Maverick, not even Chad deserves this. I don't know how, but I'm gonna hunt you down, you cyborg piece of shit. I'm going to find you and I'm going to rip you apart. Every motor, every strand of wire, slowly, painfully, you'll pay
pay for every drop of blood you spill.
Thank you for listening, and thank you to all of our associate producers who helped make Space America Season 2 possible. Dave Goddard, Jason Green, Eileen Hall, Lee Hoagland, Margie Ivy, Luke Montuori, Jim Miles, Teresa Schlafly, Dr. Tui Lu Vo, Colin Webb, and Faith Williams. To find more shows, go to www.calamitycast.com.